top sports where the takes don't miss. The prof with the stats, the champ with the fist. World to bring in fire, cowboy, tie, riding bold. Bulls calling bets, watch the stories unfold. Oh, and it's truly eyebrows running the show. It's High Top Sports, baby.
Let's get it. Let's go. Good morning. Good evening. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to High Top Sports. It is, in fact, the best day of the week, and this show is brought to you by Prize Picks. Hope you guys are all having a fantastic week. We got a great show in store for you guys today. We're going to talk QB1 battle. It's damn near around the corner, but I've got a unique way I'm going to ask the gentleman today of who's going to be QB1. Then Florida has been known over the last couple of years, and we'll dive into this, of having some iconic freshman breakout. Jaden Woods, Vernell Brown, Trevor Etienne was a freshman when he kind of bursted onto the scene. Jaden Ball, his freshman year kind of set the tone. Obviously, he had a fantastic sophomore year, but you guys get the gist. We've had some freshmen that have taken over some games. Dallas Wilson had himself one last year. Who's it going to be this year? Great class coming in from the 2026 class. Excited to learn about them some more as well. So we'll break that down, talk a little baseball. And today there was a quiz going on the internet to find out which Florida Gator you are. And we all took the quiz on the show. So leave in the chat below, who do you think we got? It was a lot of more like current Gators. So just for anybody that wants to put a guess in, I don't think any old guesses. And it's across football, soccer, baseball, everything. So you probably won't get it right, but you got to guess which three of us, what we got. Ladies and gentlemen, without further ado, David Swoller in Hollywood. Join us here on the beautiful best day of the week. Swoller, how you doing, big guy?
Man, oh man, it's been another one of those weeks again, man. Napier's actually making headlines out there. He said he had too much on his plate. That excuse is kind of wild. He called plays like he was ordering off a menu written by a child. Even Marshall O'Donohue's been on X going after JMU fans blow for blow. But that's okay because it's the best day of the week, baby. Let's get it. Let's go.
That was good. Is Marshall Donaldson really, is he going to JMU people? Or was that part just a rhyme? Is he back?
Is that just you trolling? I don't know if he's back or not, but yeah.
You're trolling. Hollywood?
Yeah. I mean, Dave, not as good as last week, but glad to have the rhymes back, I guess. No, everything's good, man. Just gearing up for first solo weekend as a dad, coming up this weekend. Wife's going out of town on Friday for her sister's birthday. So I got me and the little one this weekend by myself. I might call on some favors on some babysitting or some stuff to go on. So we'll see what happens.
I was telling you before the show, man, I made it a fun weekend. I went out and played golf, took the little man golfing. We went to the bars and we had fun. And then we had like a little photo album, like I was telling you, like it and I still remember it to this day. So it's definitely one to for the ages to make it fun, lean into it. Obviously, mom's stressing. I'm sure she is leaving you and the little one behind. Not that she doesn't trust you, but as any, you know, proper mom would be in this scenario. So good stuff. Congrats on the first alone weekend. They're fun. They're fun.
Yeah, I bet.
Have a good time.
I don't even know that part of fun, but I bet it is.
If your wife doesn't leave you alone, I don't blame her.
I take care of two dogs.
Okay. She leaves with the dogs. Good stuff. When Connor goes, hey, it's not as good as last week. Try again, Dave. It would be great if Connor was just waiting in the media room after the football games each weekend, and all the guys just kind of come in, and Connor's like, yeah, it wasn't that good, guys. He just leaves. Like, he's just kind of like the deciding factor of how they all perform. You know, he just delivers the news in such a very basic monotone. I want to read this email really quick. I got this email right before the show, and it's wild. This is how, you know, God is just, it works in beautiful ways, because I don't see a lot of emails. For those of you that email me know this. But for whatever reason, I happened to grab my phone, and the email hit my buzz me at the same time, and I looked down, and I'm also getting a handful of emails in regards to the golf tournament. So it caught my eye because it looked different. I'm glad I got it. I'm glad I saw it. So titled Shelton, thank you and all your peeps. And I was hoping I could read this. And at the end, they go, hey, please share this with everybody. I don't know if they want me to share this across the board, but we're going to share it. So this is from Michael. I hope this email finds you well, Shelton. I'll make this short. I just wanted to let you know that I've been listening to your YouTube channel for over a year and a half, but it wasn't until the last 6 months that I needed you all the most. My father was diagnosed with metastatic bladder cancer, Agent Orange, in January and lost his fight 3 weeks ago. During that time, I used High Top not only as my gateway from all the pain I was feeling, but also as a release and knowing the suffering my father was going through. You and KTP in the morning, miss those beer reviews. Champs Corner on Mondays, the best day of the week with Connor and Dave on Wednesdays. And of course, the Summit with Dave and Allie on Thursdays have all given me joy when I needed it. A couple of hours where I can just listen and laugh of all the goofiness. My favorite memory of many to choose from was the absolute pandemonium when we got Hiller in the blue chip, Wolf of Wall Street inspired commitment chest bump was born. I think freaking classic. Again, thanks to you and especially for you spearheading all this. And of course, everyone involved, please share with the crew and I will see you next month at the golf tourney. I suck, but it's the least I can do. And here's my favorite part of the whole thing. Although my golf skills may be suspect, at the very least, I am pretty sure this old, short, fat, middle-aged man can roll faster than Cody's 40 time, but that's a topic for another day. Yeah, it's my kind of guy. The fact that he got in a jab at the at this beautiful email was like, this is my people.
I love it. I love it.
Glad it went after Cody and not me.
Yeah. Michael, sorry for your loss, my man. Much love and condolences, and really appreciate the email. It means a lot. It really genuinely does. I think we sometimes forget how cool this is and the impact that we do make. We're just here hanging out talking sports. So much love for Michael. Appreciate it. But I wanted to share with you guys because obviously you guys brighten his day. So make sure you guys don't suck today.
Appreciate you sharing. I'll make sure to do my best.
Now, shout out to Michael, man. I lost my dad in 2008. I kind of know what that's like. So, you know, if you ever need to contact me, send me a DM, whatever. I'm there.
Good stuff, man. I don't know if he's in the chat right now. So, but I love the jab at Cody. It's always good. Look, when we jab at Cody, you know, we're having a good time. So
yeah,
that's good stuff there. All right, boys, let's dive into it. Let's have some fun. Let's rip the bandaid off. Who will be the next great freshman? All right, I want to dive into this first. Like I was saying at the beginning of the show, the top of the show, we've had some great freshmen over the year. Jaden Ball having his iconic season, leading the team in rushing as a true freshman. I was a huge fan of him, obviously, going into his freshman year. Eugene Wilson was another one that really bursted onto the scene before injury that we were kind of always waiting to get back to that performance he gave us his freshman year. Trevor Etienne, obviously, since hitting the field, was exceptional, in my opinion. And even Jordan Castell was another great one that, again, freshman year in a secondary that was very thin, needed some juice, needed some life, stepped right in. And, of course, we know VB3, what he was able to do. Dallas Wilson, Miles Graham is another one. And, of course, the big kahuna last year in Jaden Woods. The point of it is we've had some great freshmen, and even sometimes multiple freshmen, burst onto the scene and be big components to the Florida Gators having success, winning multiple games, and being a big caveat to that. So my question to you, gentlemen, after we close with such a great class, with even all the transition, a lot of great names to choose from here. I'm gonna name a few just so people can remember this class. And what got me thinking of this idea was we were talking about Raheem Floyd, who committed just a few days ago, and I want to pick your brain on that in just a few bits, Connor, obviously our big recruiting guy. We kind of get so excited about these classes, and then so much time goes by, you forget about them. I mean, like the 2026 class committed almost or signed almost a year ago. Like they signed in December and we haven't seen them or heard about them really. Right. Cause once we get to the regular football season, we talk about all the other stars that are on the field. There's a lot of them to talk about. So here's some of the names that we could be looking forward to in the upcoming season. Davion Grosse, who the comps have been incredible for him. CJ Bronhu, cornerback. Justin Williams, local kid out of Gainesville. KJ Ford, that name, I don't know if he even belongs in this category because of how much he's been talked about already. I mean, can we just not put him on this list? Is that fair? I feel like
I was thinking that too, just because I think that probably would have been everybody's freaking pick.
Yeah. I wasn't going to pick him because of that, because yeah. I feel like he's already done the hard work. Look, maybe we're going ahead of ourselves, but he's made a lot of noise early thus far. Dylan Perter, last edition, a steal from LSU. Kendall Gerville, Marquez Daniels, Will Griffin, Hezzy Kent, Malik Morris, linebacker, Drayle McCoy, Tyler Chunkum, Chancellor Campbell, Demir Carr, CJ Hester, Caden Hall, Desmond Green, and Javari Lucas and Elijah Owens. So, a lot of great stuff. Swolder, we're going to kick it off with you, big guy. Not named KJ Ford.
Yeah.
Who's going to be the breakout freshman in 2026 for Florida Gators?
Well, I would pick him based on the fact that if he gets to play, the wide receiver room is pretty stacked right now. But I would pick Justin Williams. I mean, the kid rushed for 1,000, caught for 1,000 in high school, broke the forget whose record it was at the time that I can't think of. But he's got good position flexibility. He's got the college ready build. Early role could be, you know, maybe he plays in some backup time, some mop up duty. But he's got a special teams path as well. I just like every bit of skill set that you get from Justin Williams. The fact that, like, you know, the guy can rush, he can run, he can receive. The guy's just an all around. To me, I think they should have just listed him as an athlete instead of like a wide receiver, because that kid could do it all. So I think he can be the closest to early playing if he can make his way through that. I mean, you got Micah Mays, you've got Vernell Brown, Dallas Wilson. I mean, there's a lot of names in that wide receiver room, but if he ever gets a chance to get on the field, I think he's going to make a lot of plays. That's just my opinion on Justin Williams. I've always liked him as a recruit.
Interesting. I mean, that's we love all the kids in this room, so there's not going to be any hate towards it, but out of all the rooms, I feel like that's the thickest of the room, and that'll be interesting if he's able to break through. I don't know if it's a good or a bad thing, because if he breaks through, then maybe that means our room isn't as good, or if he's just that good, so it could be a win-win. What are your thoughts on that, Connor? Do you like that, or do you feel that that might be because of how good the room is, he might have some hard time breaking through?
Yeah, so I think I'm leaning more towards the latter, just because of how deep that room is.
Yeah.
And I get Dave's point of he's a special teams guy, can do a lot of stuff there as well, punt return, kick return. But you got depth there too. Like VB3 was a true freshman last year returning punts.
Yep.
Looks like he might do it again this year. Like, not that I think it's a bad take, Dave. I think it's a great take. I think Justin Williams is a phenomenal player. He had a great spring. His name came up quite a bit in the spring about how, I guess, advanced he was as a wide receiver for somebody that didn't play the position full time in high school. So it was pretty cool to hear Dave mention that name, because I think that is probably one that was on my list. I had a hard time pulling the trigger on it just because of how deep that wide receiver room is.
No, agree. That's kind of where my head's at, is I like the name, but the room is so solid. I love it. Real quick. This broke me. Is that high top Dave from Rifles? What a crossover. For those who don't, I got to explain that back, because Carter doesn't know. So yesterday we did the watch party for Raheem Floyd, and we're watching the Rivals watch party. And I see the live chat, and Dave's in the Rivals watch chat. Not ours. He's watching the Rivals watch party, which, funny part, we're watching Rivals too, but that's besides the point. He's not in ours, and we're watching him be a traitor. So that's a hell of a...
Believe it or not, Shelton, I know
you were not in both. You were not.
I know this is something you can't do. That's called multitask. So
you were not in both. You came in late after you were called out. No.
I had Rivals on the MacBook Air.
He's lying.
I had your stream on the phone, and I was ready to record y'all's reaction so I could post it on X.
I might believe that. I do believe that. That part I believe, but I think you were late. You were late. Tim Bucks from Frankie. I know I'm in enemy territory, but I watch your channel during the coaching carousel. Love the channel. Hope summer all works out for y'all, because college football is better when Florida and LSU are both continuing. I love this.
I like
it. I appreciate the Tim Bucks, man. I love talking smack. Obviously, that sometimes sits wrong with a lot of fan bases, but I do enjoy the back. And a lot of other fan bases have come and watched the show. We've got our guy Marcus, who watches, big Miami fan, that love our show as well. We try to talk all college football.
We got Georgia fans that watch the show too. Daniel Riviera, he's in the chat.
Yeah.
So look, man, like X is a different world. If you come here on the stream, we make it fun.
Excellent, different world for Dave. Don't put us in that category.
I'm going to talk smack on X, but if you come out here, I'll be pretty honest.
$2 from Joshua Brown. I love, look at Joshua's thumbnail real quick. Or
picture. Oh, the Olympics.
Yeah, nice. No, he was on my team, champion.
That's the gold medal.
Yeah, $2, best day of the week. That's my guy right there.
Gold being bold, baby.
I love Josh. All right, Justin Williams was breakout number one. We're going over to Hollywood for breakout number two. What we got, big guy?
Yeah, it's tough. The numbers for last year's class were tight, only 19 prospects. I think the one that I was probably leaning towards coming into the show tonight was Kendall Gurvill.
Bastard.
Wait, however, he is coming off of an injury, tore his ACL his senior year. So I think he's still working back from that. So not going to go Kendall Gurvill. I'll let you take that one, Sheldon. And man, this is tough. Rooms are just so tough to get through. I'm gonna go out on a limb here. I'm gonna say I have no idea how to spell his or say his first name. Janiv Carr.
Yeah, okay. Offensive lineman. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So from IMG, Ocala kid. From my understanding, Troutwine loves that kid. Offensive line's a bit of a question mark right now.
Yeah.
I mean, you don't exactly know who your starting five are. You'd like to have 10. Last kid from IMG has worked out pretty good.
Najee Harris.
A multi-year starter.
Mm-hmm.
So I think for lack of better options, I think Carr is somebody that can see the field in a limited capacity this year, both as a developmental piece and as maybe a special teams guy.
I actually like the pick a lot because it's unique compared to Justin, because Justin's a higher talented prospect of the class, but in a thick room, right? Mm-hmm. Carr is lower on the prospect wheel. That doesn't mean he can't live up to the expectations. He's 6'5", 315 pounds from IMG. I think he's going to be just fine. But in a room that's wide open. Right. And so I think that I like, and again, I think you kind of nailed on the head. Najee Harris, multi-year starter. I damn near gave him starter for year one. He took over. Is it the guy? Did he take over what's his face that went to FSU or no? He took over somebody else. He played Richie a Leonard. Lot.
He started as a freshman.
He did. Najee did.
Yes. I don't know that he started all 12 games, but he did start as a freshman.
Yes. He basically kind of like slowly was like creeped in and then slowly just took over the job. Very quietly, and nobody really talked about it because it's not sexy. But yeah, again, and if he is somebody, Carr, that can do a very similar thing, look, would it be a breakout in the sense of the names that I just mentioned? No, because that's not a sexy position. But if he breaks out, that's huge in a room that may be wide open, still has a lot of, I would say, veteran presence in the room. But obviously, you've got a guy that's fresh that can be molded under Troutwine, right? And that doesn't have bad habits. That could elevate him very quickly. I like to pick a lot. Davey?
I already had my pick.
Oh, I didn't know if you had any thoughts on his pick. My apologies.
Oh, no. I totally agree. I also think, I like Tyler Chuck at UM too. I think he is, he started raising in his ranking for a good reason. Also, Dick's mom on social media, she's pretty cool too. So shout out to Tyler Chuck at UM's mom.
Yeah, I know that Georgia was making a late push for him.
They were.
Yeah. Yeah. And he's a four-star offensive lineman. I know 247 doesn't, but I know a lot of
I thought about him as well. I think the only reason I didn't is because it's so hard to get early playing time at tackle.
It's true.
Yeah. At this level.
And surprisingly, I think that room, we've heard of some positive things, especially with Amika from the Stanford transfer. And then you got Egan Boyer, Fletcher Westfall is another one. There was an article that we'll go over briefly from Zach Alvarez about the weights. Did you guys get a chance to look at that? Maybe not. But again, we haven't heard much about weight rooms. And I feel like there was a time where we did get some data about that, which I enjoyed. And so we'll kind of briefly go over. Again, what do these numbers mean? They don't always mean a whole lot. But I think the bigger thing was there was a name. I think it was Fletcher. I think it was Westfall. Just certain offensive linemen that have really elevated themselves. Oh, TJ Shanahan. That's what I wanted to talk about, was one of the strongest guys in the room, which remember at the beginning of the season.
It's not surprising to me.
That he is?
That he's one of the strongest guys in the room, yeah.
Well, I think it's the only thing I think it's not surprising, but it's exciting because remember we talked when we got here how the offensive lineman couldn't lift a feather. Not really. But.
Yeah, but he wasn't here last year, so.
I agree.
He was in Penn State's weight program and Texas A&M's before that.
I know. Oh, okay, I see what you're saying. Yeah, it's not like we've elevated our own guys.
He was a grown man coming out of high school too. So,
yeah, he's just been like a father of three since he got here for sure.
A lot of people are like,
he's definitely got a 401k somewhere.
Yeah,
he rolled it over into a Roth IRA.
Davion Gross is an obvious pick. It's just how elite he is, but I wanted to avoid that. because I would rather have picked Justin Williams too, because I just think his stats from high school and the records he broke was very impressive. And he seems to be a little bit more versatile.
Same situation with Justin Williams too, is he's in a stacked room. I mean, I think Gross was far and away my favorite prospect in last year's class, just because of everything that he does. Plays running back, plays receiver, returns kicks, returns punts, and is elite at it, and makes it look easy. Like there's not a lot of prospects that you turn on the film and it's like, is this guy even running? Like, is he working hard?
Yeah.
And as you're watching the film, he's blowing past defenders.
Yeah, it's like Andre DeBose was the same way. It looked like he was jogging. He was like
Andre DeBose, Percy Harvin, like guys like that that have that elite athleticism, and he's got good size too. He's somebody that I think maybe 95% of other wide receiver rooms in the country is getting significant playing time year one. Mm-hmm. But you're talking about a wide receiver room at Florida that's 5-6 deep before you even get to sniffing a true freshman.
Think about this room. You don't go add Micah Mays, Stockton, and Singleton. These two guys we just mentioned are seeing the football field.
Absolutely.
So hell of additions from the portal was a big key.
All right, Shelton, what's yours? Gerville?
I'm sorry. I locked my screen. So I have seconds.
I was wondering what was going on.
You saw my face. My mic is like the perfect right over the lock on the keyboard, and it hits it all the time. I got two. I know we only said one.
Oh dear, but here we go. Because he's the host, he thinks he can break the rules.
Yeah, I know.
Well, because you kind of said Gerville already, and I took away the kind of the excitement that I had planned for Gerville. Yeah. Here's the one thing I do have from Gerville, though. I have inside track. In
Olympics breaks rules here.
Hey, look at it. It's I don't know what you want me to do.
He's going
to
be breaking rules at the golf tournament. I mean,
I know.
What do you want me to do? I mean, you see how our country operates. Red card? Like, no, we don't take those. So
he's like Shawn Michaels. He's like, you make the rules, and we will.
Let me call Infantino real quick.
Yeah, it just said that, hey, we don't like that. Can you like redo that? Yeah. So you know, you saw it all this past week. So Kendall Gerville was my choice. And look, I think a couple reasons. One, I had a phone call this weekend that led me to believe that he is making phenomenal progress. Okay. And that led, I was told that. that he's really doing a lot of great things and is high on this chart. And the other part of it too, because although I think that there's areas that it could be deep, it's also very thin in the same breath, the defensive line group. And if there's one thing Chapman's known for, it's getting the young guys involved early and often. That's why we've seen why we have Dre'Lum McCoy and these guys that are making an impact. Not Dre'Lum McCoy, excuse me, McLeod. I was looking at his name. Yeah, and Mubachu that were true freshmen last year, right? Mm-hmm. And that's why we are where we are at. So that's part of me why I think Kendall is going to be that guy. Again, I think his size is fantastic. I know he's coming off the injury, which is obviously a big factor, but he's 6'5", 315 pounds. And just the fact that he's going to be working with, I think, a very solid room. And, of course, Chapman. That's why I'm very excited about it. But I'm going to either say Caden Hall or Dylan Perter. I know we're excited for DJ Coleman and what the safety room can be, but mm-hmm. I think that it is pretty wide open, to be quite honest with you. I know Laganza Hayward was kind of thrown into that room. I hope that they're not, because I want the safety room to finally find some stability. We haven't had any outside of the Castell freshman year. And I use the word stability lightly because it wasn't even stable then. But in regards to what it has been, that was probably the best it had looked for quite some time, because before that, it was Dave's favorite player, Trey Dean. So, you know, it's been shambles. So I'm leaning forward, but I wouldn't be surprised if we saw a safety breakout. Those rooms, that secondary room is usually pretty, it's open for business, I would say, and much easier for a young guy to come out and break through.
Yeah, why'd
you have Perter, to remind me Perter's though, been man, I tried to ruin my birthday, man.
Trey, sorry. Go ahead.
Perter's been talked about quite a bit in the star conversation. Obviously, Kanye Clark pretty much has that position. I don't want to say locked down, but is kind of the odds-on favorite to start at star. But Dylan Perter's been getting reps, I think, with the twos at that position. So somebody that could see the field a good bit this year, both in rotational aspect and if there were to be some sort of nick or injury or anything like that caused Kanye Clark to miss some time, Perter would be in the conversation to be the guy.
Bryce Thornton was the guy that broke out his freshman year a little bit too and saw the field a little bit. So kind of a similar situation we could see. Love me some Bryce. So, and again, now we're seeing obviously us reap the benefits of him now and being that. So look, I think all great choices. I think that if any of those guys, look, KJ Ford, we did not mention him. We kind of put him as honorable mention to be the guy. And so if you can have two or three that you're talking about and that you're excited about heading into their second year, that's where you want to be. And look, if you told me the three guys, let's just say it's KJ, I think we need a breakout probably on D-line. It's going to be Kendall. And I would love if Carr is the breakout. Not that I'm hating on the Justin Williams, but I just think that room is so thick that if I had to say, hey, where I want to break out because of where we need to go, those are my three options. We need edge to continue to grow. We need the D-line to continue to grow. And I think that those breakouts will also hopefully translate to 2028 recruiting as well. So
yeah, I would have to give a shout out at least to the last staff. I mean, obviously they didn't know how to coach the talent offensively. But you have to give a shout out to the last staff for recruiting these guys and give a shout out to Summerall for keeping all these guys on board when he came in, and especially the transition class and keeping those guys and not having them transfer or decommit, go somewhere else. So, I mean, a good job all around, I guess, from both coaching staffs. But of course, now with Buster Faulkner as the OC, I'm really excited, especially with all these wide receivers that we have, you know, to get that going, and behind a running back by the name of Jaden Ball. And then you got Pryor behind him too.
I think Clark's number two.
Is Clark number two? I thought Pryor would be number two, just basically coming in through the portal, but I guess Duke Clark's earned his time.
Matt, if you play okay ball, baby.
I'm okay with that.
Look, the running back room and Napier had an eye for some rooms, and the running back was one of them. I'll tell you that. I think Pryor is going to be utilized a little bit different than most. But here's Gray, our guy with the email. $10. I posted this. I'm here. I wouldn't miss it. Wasn't expecting a shout out. Just wanted to show some love. Thanks again for all that you do. And the chat was great. Well, again, appreciate the love, man. And thank you for the super chat.
Email absolutely. And super chat.
My man. Before we move on, I wanted to get your thoughts, Hollywood. Raheem Floyd, big fan?
Big fan. Big fan. Yeah, anytime you can go and land somebody that's the MVP of a camp like the opening, and the opening it's just kind of starting to make its way back to what it used to be back in the day. I think probably stopped being what it was, I don't know, about 7-8 years ago. But it used to be and was this year a who's who of high school prospects. Best players in the country all go there to compete against each other. And when you have a prospect like Floyd that won the MVP of that camp, I think it was defensive MVP. I'm not sure exactly the specifics of it. Got a pretty cool helmet, though.
Did he get a pick six, too?
He was locking down receivers left and right. Got a pick six in the 7-on-7 portion of the tournament and was phenomenal. Good size, 6'5", 6'1". A little slight, but that's not a problem. Get him in the weight program. Get him on campus in January, hopefully, and get him on the field as quickly as possible, because you need guys with ball skills like that and the ability to track, to be sticky in coverage. I'm a big fan of this young man. I think it's a phenomenal addition to an already really good cornerback class.
Yeah, I think what stood out to me was his vision. And like his instincts, Jalen Tabor kind of reminded me of that, of just like getting pick sixes, taking it to the house. I think he's better than Jalen Tabor was, just coverage wise. I mean, Tabor, obviously he had his moments, but he also had his moments where, oh my God, what just happened? I think the Tennessee game stuck out to me as a sore thumb, but back in the day, but the duck pull of the truck game. But I mean, like, look, Tabor wasn't perfect, but he was a pretty bad, you know what, corner. I can't say the other word on here because it's a children's show, but I think Raheem Floyd has the skill set to be better. Huh? Yeah, the ass word. So I think he has the skill set to be even better than somebody like Jalen Tabor, who did have some elite vision and could get those pick sixes or get those picks or watch the quarterback's eyes and know where the ball is going before it's out. So I saw a lot of that from Raheem Floyd on take two.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, very excited. We kind of looked at the cornerback room, and even last year's quarterback room was, or just secondary room was obviously fantastic with Stubbs, Gonza, Onis, Flowers. I mean, just another room. Two years ago? Who was last year then?
CJ Bruna.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. Well, they haven't touched the field. So that was kind of what I was getting at. But yeah,
freshman class. Gotcha.
Last year's freshman class. And again, yeah, we don't know what we're getting out of this class just yet. So it's kind of looking like what has these past classes produced. So yeah, I mean, that's even crazy to think again, this class for 2027, that's just how the recruiting is just so far. Like, it's just wild to think. And again, we still have to sign this class, but how far this class is out. And here's the even crazier thing. Like, these guys looked fantastic on their film, and they still have a whole other year under their belt of playing and developing and getting better. So,
Tease.
Yeah. Good stuff there. There was a quiz today that we all took to find out which Gator you were put on by Florida Victorious. And I think Dave and Connor cheated, but you both got the same person, which I thought was strange.
To different percentages.
Oh, was there percentages?
Well, it was weird because I redid mine again with the same answers. And I got Caglione after that. So I don't know what the thing is with it.
You can't take it twice, Dave.
Wanted me to take it again.
Gosh darn it, Dave.
What was your match? What was your percentage, Connor?
That is mine.
That is, yeah.
Oh, what was yours, Dave?
Mine was 95.
Dave's was 95%.
Dang. So that sounds like, though, Dave shows up for one game, that's about it. And then everyone just kind of reminds us of how good he was for one game.
He's good for one week of rhymes, and that's about it.
Yeah, that's about it. And that's his highlight reel.
It makes sense. I'm 41. I'm not going to last on the field that much.
I got Paloma Pena, 95%. So I'm the spark. You're full of life, loud, goofy, impossible not to love. The energy makes the whole team go. I was like, all right, yeah, bet. I mean, that's pretty spot on. So I was cool with that. I was down with that. I don't know Pina, but she looks like she's the goalie, which I can get after. I can dig it. So
I shouldn't have said that, man. That made me sound bad on Dallas. Sorry, Dallas. It's okay. Injuries happen. It just happens.
Go take the test on Florida Victorious.
I'm gonna be injured in 1 second going on the football field.
Go take the test. Yeah, somehow Jeremy got Miles Graham. Yeah, when I saw that, I was like, yeah, we need to redo this. This thing's a fluke. I've seen the post of Jeremy and his broken collarbone. He is not Miles Graham, okay? I can assure you of that. that's who I got. Tyler got the same thing I got. I saw a couple people got this, but with the personality thing. So it was cool. Fun little exercise that they did today. Loved it. All right, before we get into QB1, the question's going to be different, though. For you guys, obviously the chat always has their opinion of who they think it is, and I felt like it was time for us to get back into the debate of who is going to be quarterback one for the Florida Gators as we ramp up. And again, we've got SEC media days. Could that tell us? Could that give us a sign? I don't know. What's funny is I was looking something up today. We did a fun thing a couple of years ago with Allie, and I was trying to find the graphic that I used. I haven't found it yet. You remember when you, like, she picked Slackman and you picked Derek Wingo to be your breakout star? Like, it was like brutal. I typed in what I thought the title would be, and the first video that popped up was July 25th, which is just a few days from now, and it was day one of fall camp. I was like, damn, we are close when I saw that. So had me juiced up to get into it. But comment down below, QB1 chat. Let me hear it. What are you guys feeling before we get into our little exercise? Before we dive into that, you know the drill. Prize picks is where we're going to go into our quick segment here for Prize Picks. It is good to be right. Be sure to use that code. We tried a new test this morning. Cody and I did. And of course it bit us in the ass, as it should. We took both pitchers to go less, and they threw absolute gas today. For whatever reason, they decided to show up. And somehow the pitcher for Pittsburgh threw 8 Ks, and we scored 3 runs on. I thought we were in the bag on this one. I was like, we cooked. We were dialed in. Never seen anything like it. We are as cold as it could be.
He must have been striking out my guy Olsen, because
see, this is why I can't trust Dave either, because he comes on here, starts picking emotionally based on whoever's pissed him off as of late. He did it to me last week. I don't know where to go.
I picked Olsen because I thought he'd hit a homer.
I don't know where to go. Look at Eric Collins.
What? Is that Majin Buu?
I would pick that just based on the photo.
They did for Flo.
They put Majin Buu's head on Erling Haaland.
Did you see what they did for Flo the other day? They put a red card.
No. They put a red card on his head.
Yeah, it was
a
red
card.
I love it. I think it's a good time. They're having some fun with that. This is gonna be the match. And in my opinion, this is the World Cup. Norway versus France is gonna be absolute cinema. It's England versus Norway.
England versus Norway. Yeah.
Gonna be cinema. Cannot wait for that one. Listen, I was Mr. FIFA for a little bit. I've gotten cold. Dave, give me a baseball pick, big guy. This is your juice here.
Otani has been on fire. I would pick him for anything. Hitter fantasy score. It runs RBIs. You can even pick him for a home run. Soto has been, his game's about to start, though. He's been pretty good, too. Max Muncy, he's been okay. But you do have to pick from different games, too, as well.
Juan Soto.
New York Mets.
He's playing already?
He's about to play. It says starting.
No, they're playing
there
now.
It is. It already started.
Oh, it did already start.
They're in the seventh inning.
Okay. Well, scroll down. Let's see. There's not many games left. So I would pick, I would put Goodman from Colorado. Hunter Goodman. The Rockies.
I know. I don't see him.
Oh, that's, he should show up. I just type his name in. Type in Goodman.
For what? What do you want?
Dude hits runs RBI.
He's not on here.
Maybe he's not. Oh, I think he's out. He's dude Mickey Moniak. Mickey Moniak. His runs RBI is Mickey Moniak.
Right here?
Yeah, I think Otani goes yard tonight too, but I'd be safe and pick his fantasy score.
All right. Well, that. There it is. We'll lock it in. Hopefully, Dave does us right this time. Because I don't even know what I'm doing anymore. I thought we were cooking with the baseball with the picks this morning, but clearly we were not. But I would say follow me right now would be the worst time to follow me. I got the yips. Fully accept that. Use that code HMA down below. Download the link to give us a follow. Play $5 to get $50 instantly. Prize Picks. It is good to be right. All right, boys. Whoa.
That's Brady Bunch-like.
Yeah. Let's get after it here. All right, so here is the discussion. QB1, gentlemen. We're going to you first, Mr. Connor Clark.
Oh, my Lord.
It's not going to be who he's going to be your starter. It's kind of, sort of.
I hate these conversations.
You love it. Who will be the starter for Auburn? Week 3. Aaron Filo or Tramell Jones, Mr. Connor
Auburn week 3.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's after we play FAU in Campbell Chicken Noodle Soup.
Yeah, and it's an away game. So they're going to want somebody that they can trust in a road environment. I'm going to have to go with Aaron Filo. I'm going to have to go with Filo in a road environment, somebody that's already started a game or so at the college level, has played extensively on the road when they came back. I think it was a road game when they came back and beat NC State his freshman year when he had to step in and bring them back. I don't know that he's going to be the starter the entire season. I think Tramell is the higher upside player, but for Auburn week 3, I think you go with somebody that has command of the offense, has been in the system for a couple of years, somebody that they know has played in not necessarily an environment similar to Auburn, but a road environment, and they can manage the game. So I think I'm going to go Filo there.
Before we go to Dave, let's break this down. And the reason I asked it the way that I asked it, because I genuinely feel that we're going to go into the season not knowing who quarterback 1 will be.
I agree.
And I think that
I don't think it gets decided until after the first two games, which is why I understand why you said for Auburn.
Yeah, I think that we could, no joke, see maybe a quarterback start each game. That might be reckless. I don't know. Maybe I'm being a bit too, you know, wild in that thinking. You have the flexibility to do that. And I don't know if it's good or bad. I really don't. I don't know what is the better option to go into. I trust whatever they feel more comfortable with. Like, if they came out and said, hey, yeah, we're having one guy start one game, one guy start the other game, and whoever shows they just have more command and are okay with sitting, understand this role, that's who we're going to go with in week three. I don't hate it. I don't love it, because I would like for the guy just to be coming in week one and know that that's his job to lose, just from what we've known. But maybe I'm wrong there on that thought process. This is a weird place to be. We haven't been here.
It is. And quite frankly, I would prefer it be Tramell Jones. To be honest with you, I think he's got the better arm talent. I think he's a better athlete. I think he's got the chemistry already with the wide receiver room for the most of these guys. And I think it says a lot that he's kept it as close as he has to this point with somebody that's been in the system for 2 years, that they couldn't name a starter after spring. And like you said, we don't expect them to name a starter before game one. So I think if it's at all close and it's something that Philo hasn't separated himself or Jones hasn't separated himself. Cause Summerall has said he doesn't want somebody to lose the job. He wants somebody to go out and win it. And he said, whoever starts game one might not be the starter in game seven. So these guys are going to have to earn it every week. I think for the sake of the team's overall success and upside, I think Tramell Jones is the better quarterback. And I hope he wins it.
Before I ask David one last thing, because I think when people hear that, I'm trying to play devil's advocate a little bit. It's like people say, like, well, what makes you think Tramell has better upside? And let's just say, hey, if he does have better upside, then why is this even a conversation? Like, how is this a debate? And I think the best
because
way to
you
describe
don't win now on upside.
Well, that's what I was going to say. I think the best way to describe it is kind of like a stock, right? Philo's stock, let's just say it costs $100. So you know that you're getting in at $100. It's not going to drop below 90. It's not going to go above 150, about 120 bucks. Okay. Tramell's stock right now is about 50 bucks. That's what it is. It has the upside to be a $1,000 stock. Right now it's $50. And we don't know what Tramell is going, what we're going to get when we go out there just yet. And I think that's kind of the best way to describe it. Not saying that he's a lesser value. I know that's a weird way of looking at it. But because of the lack of playing time that he has in his belt, he just doesn't have the investment or the portfolio, if you will, to give him the same starting platform that Philo has at this moment. And that's why I would be okay with him not knowing who the starter is and to split both games up. And then I would be like, all right, bet. Because if it is as close as it is, you shouldn't lose the first two games. What we've heard, it doesn't matter who you throw in. And that's kind of why I'm in this place of like, okay, if it doesn't matter, play both of them. You Agreed. Get this game, you get this game. If you haven't won it yet, this is your chance to win it now for week three. I don't give a damn that's going to Auburn. I don't give a damn this or that. Show me why you should be the guy for Auburn. You got your chance to go do it. Dave, who do you think?
Sounds like a good problem to have if both quarterbacks are good.
If they're good. Yeah. If they're both, maybe they're both $200 stocks.
I mean, Connor took a lot of the, you know, I guess things I was going to say, but I will add that, let me go ahead and get this one out real quick. Aaron Philo is the Miami Slayer. He's 1-0 against Miami. Our coaching staff's undefeated against Miami, so I don't want to hear 41-17, 26-7 anymore because that restarts. Now, I will say Philo does have a lot of more road experience. He has led his team to victory over ranked teams when he's had to come in for an injured player, whatever, over at Georgia Tech. But as he was saying, I do like Tramell Jones' upside. I think he's got the better touch on his passes. I think he's obviously got the better arm. I think he's a dual threat kind of guy that can help you out in an offense, elude pressure if that comes to and like the questions you have at O-line, if the O-line does seem to struggle at the beginning of the year, right? Maybe Tramell Jones is your guy that you stick in there to maybe elude that pressure and maybe, you know, even some of these concepts that Buster Faulkner likes to run, you know, it kind of does sometimes involve the quarterback running. Does Tramell Jones give the offense more of an upside just based on his skill set? Or does Aaron Filo's experience take him to the starting quarterback as well? So there's a lot of factors that I guess that one quarterback has that the other one doesn't. So that's what makes it a really intriguing battle between both. And I'm really curious to see how you'll probably get something out of the first two games. We obviously know that the talent's going to be way overmatched in both those games, but you'll see something in them, right? But when you get to Auburn, that's going to be crazy. That's going to be nuts because, you know, does both quarterbacks do so great in both of those games that you just kind of just say, hey, look, we're starting one guy and then we're going to see how the game goes against Auburn. And maybe in the half we put in the other guy if the other guy's struggling. I don't know how it's going to go, but if these quarterbacks really do deliver in practice and they are as good as advertised, that's going to be a healthy quarterback battle that you're going to have. Now, if they start struggling and, you know, hopefully it doesn't look that nasty. I'm sure that, you know, with the way that Buster runs his offense, it won't be that bad. But to me, like, I would pick overall just running the offense. You know, there's more familiarity with Aaron Filo, but I think you get more out of Tramell Jones running the offense based off his dual threat capability.
So to your point, Dave, sorry, Sheldon, with the uncertainty on the offensive line, yes, having athletic ability does help that in some instances. A lot of times athletic quarterbacks will hold the ball too long.
True.
If you look at, and I'm just playing devil's advocate here. If you look at film on Aaron Filo from his time at Georgia Tech, moves in the pocket really well, gets the ball out fast, makes quick decisions. When you have a wide receiver room like Florida has, Vernell Brown, Eric Singleton, Micah Mays, Dallas Wilson, they should win at the line of scrimmage.
That's a lot of yak, too.
So you're going to want the guy that gets the ball out faster.
To the playmakers.
Correct.
And that's, I think, look, I mean, for me, I don't know Philo personally. I've been able to interview him. I love the kid a lot. But I think that this feels, from what we've heard and kind of how things have shaken up, like a UFC fight in a way, where when you have the champion fighting and the contender, when you have to beat the contender, if it goes to decision, you've got to take it away from the champion, right? Right. You've got to show that you've snatched the belt away. It can't just come down to like, well, it was close. If you're contending for it,
you can't let it come back to come down to a split decision or points.
If you're Tramell Jones,
you've got to go win the fight.
Yeah, and that seems weird because again, Filo was brought in, Tramell was already there, but by being brought in, you are the sought after one, and has how we all are viewing this. And he is the more experienced quarterback, and it may only be by 5 minutes, however you want to look at it. A big thing that our guy Dylan Olive did a comparison every pass from both of these quarterbacks. Just straight up the plays. Filo had 42 minutes of film, and Tramell had 11.
And the unfortunate part on Tramell's side is that probably 8 of those 11 minutes were against Long Island University.
Yeah, that's huge. That to me is where I have been leaning this entire time. Is I'm not gonna buy into the what could be, because I have really got locked in on the DJ Lagway thing, and I've seen just enough of it. It was just with college football, like. Time in the saddle, just being there is huge. And one thing I noticed at the spring game, and again, coming out when I came onto the scene, Filo never really went up or down, but came out, in my opinion, the more stable quarterback, looked better off of rip. And then Tramell got comfortable and all of a sudden was just like, pew, pew, you know,
just ripping it. Yeah.
Guns a-blazing. But if you're like, hey, we need to start off good, we need to get off to a smooth start, I've already seen it. And that's why I think week 3 is with Filo 2. Look, it'll be a fun debate. Maybe we get flabbergasted. I think at the end of the day,
it's always going to be a fun debate. It's going to be a debate all the way up until somebody is finally named the starter. And I think the last time we really had a situation like this going into the season was Will Grier, Treon Harris.
That wasn't a big decision. You could just tell with the human eye who was the better.
But they were rotating the first two games of the year.
Right.
Up until Will took the job, I think the Tennessee game.
Yeah. Yeah, and like that's the thing.
But even the Franks and Trask was not like this going into the season. It was Felipe's job. He got hurt, Trask took it over.
Yeah.
So Harris spiked Greer's streak.
As I say, you just hope that both quarterbacks are doing very well and it's a hard decision and not like, oh, one guy is the guy, the other guy needs works, or vice versa, or just both are just absolutely awful. You just pick the best of the awful. But I'm sure they'll figure it out.
The other big thing is what's interesting about both those scenarios with Harris and Felipe is we got the quarterback right one time. We got it wrong the other time.
Which, Dan Mullen.
Yeah, which is no, that's not fun. There is a wrong answer. Michael Bell says nobody's saying anything about turnovers. It's all capital, so that's why I had to yell it. Turnovers! Lose games. I assume that's how he typed it. But yeah, look, he's not wrong. Obviously, a big thing coming out of camp have been the Philo turnover.
You have to protect the ball.
For my counter to that is, and you may not like my counter, but every quarterback is going to have its weakness. I understand. Like, my thing is, like, there's going to be a hole. I think Tremel's hole is going to be that quick decision making. It may not turn into an interception, but because of the lack of decision, may turn into turnover on downs, which may not hit the stat sheet as hard as an interception, but still similar outcome. And we're not moving the ball as much. So I hear you. But again, I was never opposed to Lagway throwing interceptions because that let me know that he was throwing the ball. And I understood that a young quarterback, now not five, but a young quarterback slinging the rock, there's going to be holes. There's going to be things that make up, but hopefully the good will outweigh what he's doing poorly. So again, that may not make sense to a lot of people. That's how my brain works. There's neither quarterback's going to have it. They're going to have flaws. It's what I believe absolutely. Which quarterback can overcome that particular flaw. And I think early on, Philo will be able to overcome those interceptions. Those things are going to happen.
Yeah, even Will Greer threw some picks, I believe, when he started too. I mean, but obviously he made up for it in a big way. But yeah, it's as long as you don't turn over the ball a lot. I mean, look at people like Brett Favre. It's a turnover machine, but the guy wins games, right? Hopefully that's the case. You could go back to Jeff Driscoll, but Jeff Driscoll had an elite defense behind him that even if he did turn over the ball, they were still in the game.
Yes. Sometimes a pick is a punt. It can be.
Yeah.
It can be. So great conversation as always. Always a blast. I'm sure we'll talk about it some more.
Always fun to start a heated debate in the comment section.
Yeah, I mean, that one, that is the one downfall of that. Like, when we do talk about the quarterbacks, like, it gets pretty rowdy of, like, again, it's like they're, like, we're picking who we want. It's not that. It's who we think. And everyone's opinion is validated. One will be proven. There's a guy, I don't know if he just got pissed off at me and doesn't watch the show anymore. I can't remember his name now. Uh-huh. He used to send all kinds of stats, or he died. I don't want to think that, but because he was a military guy. Like, we would joke back and forth. He sent me a controller. Like, we had a pretty cool relationship. He did not like Jaden Ball. He was all in on Jacoby Jackson. And I was like, Jaden Ball is a better running back. And he would send me all these stats. And I was like, I don't give a damn about your stats. My eyeballs tell me Jaden Ball's better. Jaden Ball's better. And obviously, he ended up having a fantastic year last year. At the beginning of the year last year, I was at the game. And I was just texting him to run the ball. And I was trolling him a little bit, and he's like, you better not be trolling me. And I was just like in my feels, and I was like suck it, like, but not nothing rude. But I haven't heard from him since. We'll pick up my calls, like we would chit chat on a regular basis, like, very weird. I'm like, there's no way he got offended by that, but I think something happened. He was an older guy. My whole point to that was that that debate kind of got like nasty because like, his feelings got hurt because I ended up being right in this scenario. But it was always just fun. Like, it was like, who cares who's good? As long as one of them are good, we both win.
Yeah, that's how I am. I just want the best quarterback to play. I could care less who it is. It could be Will Griffin. That's third, fourth string back there. If he's the best quarterback, play him. But look, the military guy, I don't know who you are. Sean makes fun of my mom.
It wasn't Army Sniper. He's a more of a seasonal guy anyways. Army Sniper will be back, I assume.
Trust me, he makes fun of me more than you.
Yeah, I'm not talking about Army Sniper. No. I'm not talking about him at all. If I texted him today, he'd probably text me. I'd text him back. He's always been kind of more cold during the offseason from history. But yeah, I'll shoot him a text now. But hey, where are you at? We miss you. There was a chat that I just pulled up. This is the one thing I don't like. I can't remember where it went. Where it was like, if it's, oh, I have it pulled up. if it's Philo, if Philo's quarterback one, it's a relationship based decision. Like, it, that's what annoys me too. Is like, so then all of a sudden we're already out on the coach of like, he can't make a rational decision, that he's just making an emotional. I don't believe that to be the case.
Coach gets paid to win. He's going to want to win. <don't>,
that's just crazy. But man, I don't, right.
It's weird. Like, I think it's weird for coaches too, because we talk about like the Felipe Franks, Trask, like everybody knew Trask was a better quarterback, but we didn't know that until he came in and played Kentucky and then did what he did later on that year. But there's a lot of people thinking that Trask was a better passer, but it's hard for like a coach, because it's like, hey, this is my experienced guy. He won me 10 games last year. I can't really sit the guy because he knows how to run the offense and do all this stuff. He may make mistakes, but he's got his upside. But, you know, you got another quarterback that can heave the football up and down the field. It's sometimes that decision's hard for the coach sometimes.
Sometimes. A little baseball talk, and then we'll do more or less. Last, we'll end up with more or less on the 7.5. Caglione gets selected to go to the Home Run Derby, which is
pretty sweet.
Flipping awesome. I've been, like, for me, like, Home Run Derby, you always kind of pick a fan favorite. Obviously, Braves, they've had Ronald in it 1 year. They had Matt Olson in it last year, I think. We just don't have kind of like a dude, in my opinion, on the Braves. So it's, you know, you kind of usually end up just cheering for one of these studs. I'm all in on Jack. This is sick. Obviously, Pete Alonso was always tough because he's a Met, but I liked watching him. It was so fun to watch him. He went back to back, I think. That was fun to watch him do that. But this kind of fits into that category. Jack obviously having a ton of success, so very excited to watch him. That'll be about July 13th, I think. Probably one of my favorite times of the year. It's kind of like that halfway point, the turning of the, all right, now it's getting into like the fall part, because baseball is getting ready, kind of getting ready to ramp up. It's over its halfway point, but very excited to see Jack get it done. And then Connor, you had a kind of a quick synopsis. Gator baseball has been cooking. The Gator Baseball channel is on fire. Those boys have been working. Go subscribe to that channel. I think we're so close to 800. But quick synopsis of for Gator baseball fans out there, what they have done thus far, Hollywood.
Yeah, they've kind of, since they've made the additions of the new coaches, they've kind of hit the ground running and made some crazy strides. Pretty cool to see. And then you've got the baseball draft this weekend. So you'll have a better idea after this weekend of who is going to make it to campus from the recruiting class, as well as the guys that are currently on the roster that are draft eligible. So I was going through, I don't unfortunately have access to Baseball America's top 250 for draft prospects, but I did pull up MLB.com's and there are 5 prospects from Florida's current roster that are slotted in the top 250. That's Liam Peterson at number 20, who, for all intents and purposes, is gone out the door. I don't think a ton of Florida fans will be upset about that because of the inconsistency on the mound with him. But the tools are there. I would have liked to see him get coached by maybe a Rich Dorman. But I think his issues are more a little bit between the ears than they are the physical tools. Center fielder Kyle Jones is MLB.com's number 135 ranked prospect. I fully expect him to head to the majors after this year. Jaden Bastion slotting into the center field role. And then you've got Russell Sandifer, who was the Sunday starter for the Gators this year. That's an interesting one, because I think he's somebody that could still be a weekend starter next year if he does come back, but he could find some decent value in the draft. And he's already a junior. And then Liam McNeely, number 185, then Ethan Surowick, who already announced he's coming back to Florida, as number 249 in Major League Baseball's top 250. Now, I think the big one that everybody's kind of worried about right now are the high school prospects.
Yeah.
Obviously Florida has some fantastic high school prospects signed to this class. The big two obviously being Kevin Roberts and Brady Harris, both of which are top draft prospects. Now they actually slid down quite a bit over the last, I'd say 6 to 12 months. Roberts now slots in as the number 136 prospect, and Harris as the 163rd. And then Florida flipped a top 100 prospect from Oklahoma, thanks to the addition of the new recruiting coordinator and hitting coach. Somebody that I think Florida is aiming to get 2 of those 3 guys on campus. And if you could get all 3 of them, you'd be ecstatic. I just don't know where the bats come from. because Florida's got a great lineup that's getting built currently. You'd like to see them add probably a few more left-handed arms out of the bullpen through the transfer portal. You've got a couple of prospects in the class that will hopefully be able to contribute as true freshmen. But baseball is looking up to fantastic new coaching hires for Sully, and looks like we might have a pretty stacked roster next year.
Yeah, it's interesting how baseball works with that, with the, how the draft is. I mean, because you can draft a high school player, so it's a unique area to be in.
Yeah, and there was a proposed change this year about no longer being able to draft prospects out of high school for the majors, and cutting the draft down to 12 rounds.
So many rounds, bro. My ongoing joke is that we all got drafted to the MLB. We just didn't know it. I mean, everybody gets drafted, dude. You may not play. Well,
it was like, what, 40 rounds, like 30 years ago. They cut it down to, I think, 30. I think it's currently at 20. And they're talking about cutting it down to 12 again in the near future.
Golly.
I don't know if it'll go through, but I think if they do make the adjustment to no longer draft high school prospects, I think it does get cut down to 12, because then that severely limits your talent pool of people that can be drafted.
For sure. This is actually a fun question. We can do this right real quick. Shelton, do you like Billy's first recruiting class or Summerall's first recruiting class? Do you guys remember Billy's first recruiting?
are we talking transition class, or are we talking bump class?
Yeah, bump. I would
assume bump.
Well, so this is the bump class here, right?
Nobody really counts the transition class, but
bump class is Summerall's current class.
Yeah, the transition class he had nothing to do with, so I'm not counting that.
So what was Billy's first full class? Was it 2022?
23.
Yeah.
And
22 was ETN, and that was his transition class.
Okay, let me look at this.
11th.
So here's what's tough. So when you ask me, whose class do I like more? Well, I don't know Summerall's class. They haven't performed yet.
Dude, I like it more just based on the O line. Like, the O line recruiting is night and day. I would have liked to have seen a little bit, you know, I guess, the paper stars on like some of the defensive spots. But I mean, like, as far as like overall talent, I mean, Summerall's blows Billy's out of the water, I think, for the first one, because I think Billy's was only like ranked 11th or 12th. And 12th. He lost a lot of prospects to Miami that year, I remember. See how it shakes out signing day. But so far, yeah, I would prefer Summerall's class over Billy's first the bump.
So in hindsight, you're looking at this class. The top 1, 2, 3, 4 prospects have all left the program.
Cameron James is there. Oh, 3.
So if you go 247 composite, your top 4 prospects are Kelby Collins, Jakeem Jackson, Aiden Mizell, and Eugene Wilson.
Oh, okay. I'm looking at something different. Jeez.
So they're all gone. Then you have Rod Kearney, Dijon Johnson, and Cameron James, all still there. Then you have Will Norman, who I don't even know if he's playing football anymore. Jordan Castell, Sharif Denson, TJ Searcy, Gavin Hill, Aaron Gates, Treyon Webb, all have left the program. Don't necessarily blame Webb or Gates. Coaching transition, get it, no problem.
Searcy left in the middle Denson, of it with well, A&M.
Searcy left 2 years ago. Then you have Caden Jones, who's still on the roster. Andy Jean, no longer on the roster. Bryce Thornton, Jaden Robinson, Nyjah Harris, Bryce Lovett, all still on the roster and contributors. And then JUCO transfers Quincy Ivory and Jacoby Jackson.
Yeah, I would choose Summerall's class. I'm not counting who's left or not. I'm just doing it based off just base recruiting class. But, I mean, if you're counting people who left, I mean, that's an obvious.
I felt like that was his best class he's had.
I think the Lagway McRae one was to me.
I meant production wise.
Oh, like, production wise.
Like, okay. Yeah, I agree, because that was McRae, Childs, Graham, Fletcher Westfall. I mean, talent-wise, star-wise, 100% 2024 was, but 23 in regards to, like, production, what we got out of those guys, that was a big one. Because then after that, you've got Katie Daniels, who we haven't seen, Tank Hawkins, we never saw, Greg Smith left, T.J. Abrams, we haven't seen too much of, Josiah Davis, Mike Williams, Jaden Ball, obviously big treat, D-Rob, we got a taste, Teddy Foster's gone, Brewer, it's, I mean, it's thin with what we've seen production-wise. Yeah, I mean, look, I think I'm probably biased because it's fresh and it's new. But I like the fact that it was super offensive line heavy. I've had a chance to talk to most of these kids. They're all fantastic kids as well, which I love. And again, we've interviewed Elias Pearl, the number two, Caron Wheeler, Peyton Miller. We have not spoke to Eliza Hutchinson's. Tremont Collins, I think we spoke to. Davin, we've talked to.
I like
Bentley, Jackson. So we've talked to a lot of this class already, but both I mean, right now the class is ninth, I think, or eighth composite, right?
Let me give a shout out to Davin Davidson.
The current class?
A really good leader for this class, by the way.
Love Very that good. Kid. Yeah, he's awesome. Yeah, the current class, yeah.
Yeah, ninth. On 247 composite.
Yeah, I'm going to choose the guy that's in the driver's seat now as my favorite. Sorry not to. A better defensive class. I think that was something that actually Napier did a pretty good job of.
At Napier, on a star level, Napier did, I think, better star wise. But I mean, you're going to pick your guys. I mean, it doesn't matter. Those coaches, like Summerall's even said, he doesn't even look at stars. He just picks the guys he likes. So, I mean, if you go by star level, yeah, I think Napier had the better.
What was the average rating difference between these classes? Dave's got an encyclopedia of it. He's got to.
No, somebody actually posted this in Dave's Discord. I think it was Josh, that dude that posted it. So shout out to him. He's got.
Yeah, I think that's a big thing. It doesn't really matter whose class is better.
What position was it?
Or just wasn't defense? Developed. That's what we need.
So Summerall,
just overall.
So 90.93 composite for 27, for 23.
It doesn't have like a total for defense, but it has a total for like each position.
91.141 was Summerall's, or was Napier's first class composite.
So Napier
91.41.
Yeah, but so that was with 22 commits. We have 26. We have a little bit more commits.
If you're going no transition class and just going 2023 to 2025, he has, let's see, at safety, Summerall's 0.89, Napier was 0.92, cornerback, Summerall 0.91, Napier was 0.92, linebacker 0.91, Napier was 0.93, D-line 0.90 for Summerall, 0.92 for Napier. Edge, you got 0.93 for Summerall. I guess nothing. He's counting.
Oh, yeah. They're counting Caron Miller or Caron Wheeler.
Caron Wheeler, yeah, that's what I'm assuming. So you have 0.93 for him. You have 0.90 for Napier. O-line, you have 0.91. Napier, 0.89. I'm going into offense, but yeah.
Yeah, Napier definitely crushed the linebacker room.
Summerall's, yeah, it's tit for tat right now, I guess, but that's what I was saying. Maybe they wanted to spend on a different position this cycle, and maybe next cycle they spend on the other one. I don't know.
We're splitting here. Look, the thing is, though, I don't think there was ever a talent problem at Florida, so that wasn't really. That's not. Some coaches lose their job because they don't recruit well, like or win games, like Norvell. If whoever's taking over that job is not going to be in a fantastic position, or some coaches have talent but don't live up to the expectations. Obviously, we all know what the expectations were last year for Florida, and the reason being is because of the talent that is on the football field. And there's a reason why that when this new staff came in, they kept a pretty good bulk of that current roster because, like, oh, this shit is talented, and we would like to keep you on this roster. As if somebody were to take over FSU, it would be a complete overhaul. And I don't know if anybody's running, and that could be a reason why they haven't got rid of him yet, because I don't know if anybody's running towards that damn door to get in on the action, because it is going to take a lot of money and flipping to fix it and to get it where it needs to be.
There's also the portal.
Yeah, but I think that I agree you can go into the portal, but I mean, there's just so many people fishing in the portal now. It's not as easy to go in there and flip an entire roster like there may have been 3 years ago.
More expensive.
It's more expensive and it's more crowded, right? I've said this. Obviously, I know, you know, we obviously talk Stars and Dave's a Star slut. And we've done the comparison on our morning show. I don't know if you guys have seen it, but comparing the overall talent between our opponent, right? And the big one would obviously be in Texas. The average rating of overall, the point differential was like 1.5. And for me, like, that's not a major gap. I don't think it is. Do you think if a class average rating is 93 and Florida's is 91.5? I mean,
you got to factor in seniors, juniors, development, that kind of stuff too.
Correct. Yeah, I know. That's just high school. It's paper to paper. And that's my point, is it comes down to, well, who's been developed, who's obviously Jaden Ball isn't a .88 guy, but he was on paper. So that's the point, right? Is that on paper, you brought in the talent that should be enough, but have you developed it? Have you groomed that talent to live up to the expectation? That's going to be the question. And that's what the last staff could not do.
And let me, I'll say something too, because a lot of people, they'll say, well, the average 3-star doesn't make it to the NFL, this route, whatever. All you got to do is be a good college player, right? You can develop a lot of 3-stars to be good college players, like, if, especially once they're junior seniors. The ratings are like 5-star and all that too. Factors in a lot of skills, but it's like more of college-based ready. Like, they basically do it as a draft, like an NFL draft. They'll have like 32 5-stars. Then they go, I think it's like, what, 200 or 300. Now they have like, what, 400 4-stars now? I don't even know what the limit is.
Something like that.
It's like 370. But they base it just based on, like, if you were drafting them through high school, right, going to college. But that doesn't necessarily mean it's going